Welcome to another in our short series of short European Crucible podcasts, where I talk to people who've participated in the European Crucible and also found each other, found a project together to see what the state of that project is, but also a few thoughts on the whole Crucible experience as well. If you don't understand, it'll make sense as we go along. And today's project is called Mirror, but that doesn't really reveal half of what it's all about at all, but we'll get on to that with the three key participants. And I'm going to start by getting them to say a little bit about who they are, where they're based, what they're doing outside of Crucible. And in alphabetical order, I'm going to start with Itiri.
So I'm based in Dresden, Germany, and I'm actually a physicist and a chemist, and I work on discovering new materials that could perhaps be beneficial to humankind in the long run.
Next, Heidi Badet.
I am now based at Umeå University in Sweden, and I am a marine biologist, and I work in coral reefs, seagrass meadows, coral and algae beds, mangrove forests, anything on the coast, trying to understand how those ecosystems work and how humans can interact with them and what that might mean for their future health and their future usefulness to societies.
Excellent. So we've got materials, we've got marine biology, not easy to spot the link immediately. And our third participant is Ryan Pereira.
Yeah, so I'm based at Edinburgh, Heriot Watt University and the Lyell Centre. I'm an environmental biogeochemist, and I'm very interested in how the carbon and water cycles are interlinked together, very much from a focus of looking at ecosystem services, but also in terms of water security and providing clean drinking water.
The Lyell Centre's relatively new at Heriot Watt, isn't it? It was a big project to bring together geological, geographical expertise, if I remember.
You remember absolutely correctly. It is a new project. We are 7 years old now. I was in on day one when the carpets still had that fresh new car glue smell. and we've very much made it feel more like home. And I think we're up to about 80 researchers, including academic and PhD students.
And it links nicely because I remember that they held a special introductory Lyell Crucible to introduce Heriot Watt to the people who had come in through this as well. And this has obviously fed into other Scottish Crucibles, but now Scottish Crucible has grown and become this European Crucible event. And it'd be nice to find out from each of you what got you interested in taking part in European Crucible. And we may as well start with you, Ryan.
I love the interactivity of meeting new people that do something completely different to what I do, because I find that when you put core disciplines together and then think transdisciplinary and fuse ideas together, something fantastic comes out of that. And so I've been fortunate enough to engage with Heidi before, but never a Tyria, and it's been fantastic having that opportunity to do so.
For me, I honestly didn't really know what to expect. It was completely new format, completely new idea. And, you know, I went into it very open-minded, and I'm glad I did, because in fact, you know, I've never met any marine biologists before. And look at this. I think this is amazing. This is something that would have never happened had I only thought about projects within, you know, Max Planck or within Dresden. So this is quite a unique opportunity.
And how did you hear about it, Itiri?
Well, you see, I happen to be friends with a lot of Scottish people, and they told me that this is a very cool program that perhaps I should consider. And I did. And well, that's what you get for being friends with Scots.
There are many perks of being friends with Scottish people. I think I will stick up for my Scottish friends on that one. Heidi, what about you?
I was part of the 2017 Scottish Crucible. So I did kind of understand what the Crucible was about. And from that 2017 Crucible, I made some really, really great collaborative links with researchers within Scotland who I'm still working with today from completely different disciplines, such as theoretical mathematics. Still working with them today. So, and I thought when I saw the opportunity for the European Crucible, it worked super well at a Scotland scale. It's got to work really well at a European scale as well. And it did. And look where we are.
It's interesting because you mentioned that crucible, but obviously that was a face-to-face crucible where you're all hot-housed together. It's a very different experience, isn't it, doing it online? How did you find it, Heidi?
It was very different. I would say there are definite benefits to doing things face-to-face. And my understanding is that when European Crucible was first coined as an idea, it was hoped that it would be in person, but well, times changed.
Yep.
And I think we're all quite used to doing some things online now. And I think the European Crucible used various different platforms to try and replicate as best you can in a digital space, the kind of networking, the collaboration, discussions, and all those things that can happen very easily face to face. They did the best that they can with the new tools that we have that have come up over the past few years to help us get along. And I think, well, it must have worked because we ended up in these groups doing these different projects. So there's definitely something that worked there, even if it was all online and most of us have never met each other face to face.
Ryan, you said you had some prior knowledge of Heidi, if that's not making it sound more sinister than it should do. But how did you two and Eteri all begin to come together and not just think, hey, what an interesting person, but think we've got potential here for a project?
Yeah, absolutely. So Heidi, just for clarity, was actually on the floor below me in the Lyle Centre, and we would often pass each other in the corridor. But I'm not sure we'd had full connection in terms of our scientific activities. And actually, just to build on what Heidi was saying in terms of the remote access and being able to connect, I think Eurocrucible was really successful in that, and it allowed more people to be able to engage without geography being an inhibitor. So we've had colleagues join from the Ukraine, for example, and I was actually located in Guyana at the time and still able to engage in Eurocrucible, which was fantastic. In terms of your question, so it's all very well having a core knowledge or science output, but if no one's there able to hear your science or really understands how to engage with it becomes a bit pointless, really. So we've been looking at utilizing different mechanisms to get people engaged with the type of work we do. So we do a lot of work working with local indigenous communities. We've got various computer programming activities that get kids involved using Lego out in Guyana and Amazonia. And we've also been going to the high end and using technologies like virtual reality to bring people together that are disconnected by geography, but are able to engage in the scientific work that we do.
Just to, again, add further notes, you mentioned about like collaborators from Ukraine, and that I think is a specific reference to Dr. Igor Tereshenko, who you can hear in the Mavka podcast, which is part of this series. And Eteri, so we've got the idea that you've all met, you've all started to find common ground. When did this idea for what became Mirror begin to appear? And we need to then obviously get onto what Mirror is.
I think for me, I had this question a few years back, and when we were, let's say, pressed to come up with projects, I started asking. I think Ryan was the first person that I talked to in terms of the question that I had about the magneto reception in, let's say, fish or coral. And then Heidi, I didn't meet until very late, and everybody kept telling me, you know, you gotta meet Heidi, you gotta meet Heidi. So then when we met, we sort of jumped into it. The rest, I think, was just creative thinking on the spot.
I think if I recall rightly, you had a sort of question. You'd sort of wondered about reefs and undersea volcanoes, and you began to sort of think along these lines.
Yeah, precisely. And you see, having had experience with magnets, I didn't have questions about magnets, but rather, what can magnets do for us when it comes to, you know, coral reefs? And this is precisely what we started to talk to Heidi and Ryan about in terms of, is this something that is a reasonable question, or is it something that me, not being the expert, not knowing what I'm talking about, and that's it, if they could explain it to me, you know? So it was both a dialogue and sort of a creative process that we went through together.
And Ryan, was it a sort of out of left magnetic field type thing? Because if you said to most people, I would imagine, what have reefs and magnetism got in common? They'd think not a lot.
Well, I think when Eteri came to me with it, I was like, oh, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. And that's where good science starts, in my opinion. So obviously you have to then go and read a lot, do it a bit of research, ask a couple of experts. But then, you know, a new way of testing that idea became apparent. And that's where Heidi really then stepped up, I think, and helped to provide some contacts with some of Eteri's ideas with tile design.
And we maybe need to sort of pull back and get a bigger picture, because, again, I'm sure there'll be people listening to this saying, well, OK, even if it turns out there is some link between reefs and magnetism. What difference does it make? What's the potential gain here? But there are actually quite significant potential gains. Heidi?
So you will have seen all over the news very, very often, coral reefs are in a bit of trouble. They're expected not to do very well as time progresses over this century and as climate change progresses. So there are a lot of research efforts now trying to work out ways how we can best conserve and regenerate coral reefs, especially in areas where maybe they're already degrading. One of the really major areas of research is creating substrates. So the rocks and the things that corals might settle on and then grow, can we make that a better habitat for actually enabling corals to grow within coral reefs? So the idea that Itiri had in terms of magnetoreception, so whether things are attracted or maybe deterred by magnetic fields, the kind of idea that we had in terms of impact was if we can make a magnetized substrate for coral restoration, will that actually increase the amount of coral larvae, so baby corals, increase the amount that they will settle or increase their survival rate or increase their growth rate. So what MIRID has done is take that idea of restoration in a coral reef, which is what we presented at the European Crucible, but then we've actually expanded that within this project beyond coral reefs. There are, of course, other ecosystems in the world, and other coastal ecosystems are also facing kind of similar fates to corals. And so in MIRA, we're trying to understand how a magnetized substrate, so we have some settlement tiles, and that is literally some terracotta tiles, but they're sandwiched with magnets. So we've got magnets inside these tiles, and we've deployed them in three different habitat types around the world. Firstly, in coral reefs, in Mayotte, in the Indian Ocean, in Scotland, in a coralline algae bed, which is kind of similar sort of habitat to a coral reef, but made of coralline algae, which is a type of seaweed, and also in a more seaweed and aquatic plant habitat in the northern Baltic, close to where I am in Umeå. And so we're kind of waiting now, and we'll fish them out of the water and see what's grown on those tiles in a few months' time.
So at this stage, you've clearly gone a long way from just chatting in the European Crucible. You've got activity in three different sites, but you're not at the point yet where you know whether there is anything to this at all. It could be you come back and goes, no, magnetism makes no difference whatsoever.
Absolutely, but this is precisely the point. We would like to know, we would like to answer this question, does it make a difference or not, right? And I couldn't do this by myself. And I think this is the beauty of this. We can rather quickly, and by quickly, I mean in about a year, figure out, Is this something that could perhaps be interesting?
And Ryan, this is important because this is one of those areas where small gains could mean big gains. If you can increase the likelihood of coral growing and fish forming an ecosystem around it by 2%, that can make a huge difference.
Absolutely. It would make an absolute massive difference. And I think Itiri's point here that we couldn't do it alone is really important here, because without Itiri, Heidi and I would not have been able to do this. And without Heidi, I wouldn't have been able to have the impact and or the understanding, and then the impact related to the coral beds. And then myself with the geochemistry wouldn't have been able to support that. I mean, in terms of actual gains, I guess we won't know until we pull them back out of the water. That will be a nervous moment, I suspect, from the three of us and the others involved in the project. But that's why we do science, as you said at the beginning, Quentin. Sometimes this works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, but if you don't ask the questions and you don't get those diverse people in the same room to ask the questions, the danger is you don't think of this. And this could have gone another 10 years before somebody thought, hang on, has anybody thought of magnets? You know, that can make a big difference.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that when you designed your tiles and then you showed them to me, you turned around and said, oh, we haven't done that much work. And then you actually showed me what you did and you started talking about the level of depth and consideration and the design consideration. And then your talented workshop engineers at the Max Planck and what they were actually able to achieve. And there was so much thought in the design. To the basic layperson, it might just sound like we got a couple of magnets from IKEA, shoved them on some tiles and stuck them in a bed. But that was not what you did at all. I mean, it was a fantastically engineered solution that you've provided here.
Itiri?
Well, thank you very much. I have to say that all the thanks go out to our machine shop because they did a spectacular job. And it was really, really fun to see them react to this project because this is not anything that our institute does. Our institute is very basic fundamental research, right? And typically when we go to the machine shop and ask, look, can you make this very sophisticated probe? They ask why. And they're like, well, because, you know, maybe it works for some very, very specific fundamental question. But here I was actually able to show them the pictures that Heidi sent us and show, look, you have this tile that we're trying to make better. And if it works, it could actually make a huge impact on the environment. They're like, oh, wow, this is amazing, right? And this is precisely, it got them really excited. I mean, it got me excited, but it also got them really excited. And I think it was very cool. That's why I was sort of spent so much time thinking about it. I'd also like to say that if it works, and if we take it further, we have 6 other people who are waiting patiently to do the other part of this not-so-simple project, right? We have theoretical support, we have modeling, we have more chemical analysis. So if it goes anywhere, we already have, let's say, a perfect Oceans 9 assembled for this job.
I'm talking to 3 of you today, but there are other members of the project as well. Ryan.
Yes, absolutely. We shouldn't forget about Ben, Julia, Andrew, Katarzyna, Martha, Adriana, Simona, and obviously the rest of us that are on the call today.
I'm guessing MIRA is an acronym, isn't it? And stands for something. I'm guessing M is magnet, but I don't know what the rest is.
Neither do I. I thought about that when we started talking, Quentin. I thought, yeah, I know you're going to ask that. I have no idea what it stands for. I can't remember.
You did, actually. Heidi, you came up with it.
Let's keep talking. I'll find it.
In the end, it's one of those things. Scientists do love a catchy acronym. And sometimes there are whole projects. There was an Australian, I think, telescope project called Boomerang. And it was like, did you come up with the project and then the acronym? Or did you come up with the acronym and then come up with the project? I desperately want to do something that's going to spell Boomerang. It seems to be something like that. So, Ryan, where are we at now? It sounds like results are pending.
Actually, that's a good question. I need to ask that to Heidi. I know that they've recently gone in, but we're waiting, really. I think we were talking about 12 months. So we need to wait a little longer, unfortunately, and be patient. Heidi, that's correct, isn't it?
Yes. So MIRA, Magnetic Reef Restoration. Yes, patience is now required. One of the considerations that we have for sediment tiles is that we want to give plants, algae, animals time to settle. We can't put it in for a day and expect a load of stuff to be on those tiles because nature just doesn't work like that. So for coral reefs especially, there is a specific time period when there is a spawning time for the coral. So that's when the baby corals are produced, and shortly after they will then start settling. So we need to be in the water during that period, which we are. But then we also need to give them a chance to start growing. A lot of the organisms that we're kind of interested in, corals, coralline algae, and the seaweeds, they all grow relatively slowly. So we need to give them time to establish themselves on those sediment tiles. And that's also important because that gives us an idea of maybe not the very first stage of settlement, but actually can things establish themselves on these magnetic tiles? And is that a better substrate for a more established sort of community than the very, very initial starting community, which in the long term is perhaps less important than those ones that are going to survive for the next years and decades.
I mean, and given the kind of somewhat parlous state of our oceans and our planet, these things can be very significant. There's a lot of interesting work going on. I remember talking to somebody a couple of years ago, and they were using waterproof boom boxes, I think, to play mating calls to fish to attract them to reefs they might not otherwise populate. And when you first hear about it, it's like, you're doing what? You're playing underwater music? But then when you actually get it explained, of course, you think, yes, that would actually make sense.
Yeah, and this is exactly the same kind of idea in some ways. But instead of sound waves, we've got magnetic fields. We know that some organisms are attracted by magnetic fields. Within the oceans, we know that some aren't. And so the hypothesis that the magnetized substrate will have an effect is not completely wacky.
What's the funding that's keeping this going? Because this doesn't sound like this is something you can just sort of do in your spare time. There's a lot of work involved here.
You're right. This is a pilot project. And from what Heidi has just described, we need to leave these tiles in place so that we can prove a statistical difference between a blank control and then magnetized tiles to demonstrate that this proof of concept works. There's a small amount of funds that the Eurocrucible were able to offer to facilitate some of the fieldwork deployments that has been led by Heidi and her team. But there's also been an awful lot of goodwill coming from across Europe with all of the project team to be able to support all of the type of chemical analysis, the fabrication work that Atiri's done, and then some of the visualization work that might occur as well further down the line.
Finally, I'd just like to get a little from each of you about how you found the whole Crucible experience and what you would say to anyone who is interested in taking part in a future European Crucible. And we'll start with Atiri.
Well, for me, it has been amazing. I think it had allowed me to ask this question or to get closer to answering this question that I had for a while. I met wonderful people. And of course, I hope that it works. I hope that we'll learn something amazing. But if we don't, it's also fine. Because once again, I've met wonderful people. And I'm sure many great ideas are going to happen.
Ryan.
Go in with an open mind. Eurocrucible is about meeting fellow scientists that are asking questions. They just might not be your questions. So see what they have to say and see how you can contribute to that and see what kind of new ideas and inspiration that drives in yourself. I thought Eurocrucible was absolutely fantastic and would strongly encourage anybody to engage in this or other types of platforms that allow them to do this.
And Heidi.
Yes, absolutely. Agree with everything that Ryan and Atiri have said as well. Would highly recommend applying for European Crucible if it comes around again. Whatever your discipline, there is potential to make really fantastic connections, make friends, but also from a work point of view, there are lots and lots of opportunities, but you do need to keep that open mind and go with the wacky ideas. I think the wacky ones are the ones that really kind of thrive in this Crucible environment.
Okay, make friends, make connections, and maybe make a big difference to the future of the planet.
I like that. Yes, absolutely.
I'm absolutely sure that was the now Sweden-based Heidi Badette bringing this European Crucible podcast to a magnetic and, we hope, majestic conclusion. You also heard from Atiri Svanica from the Max Planck Institute for Chemical Physics of Solids in Dresden and Ryan Pereira, who is at Heriot-Watt University's Lyell Centre. They, plus six others not featured in the podcast, are collectively the MIRA project. MIRA, don't forget, especially if you're part of the team, standing for Magnetic Reef Restoration. And since Heidi in particular is a big champion of wacky ideas, you could say it's a case of mirror, mirror, off the wall. Although, on reflection, there's nothing very wacky or off the wall about what they're trying to find out. So thanks for listening. That is all for this European Crucible podcast. There are others, and if you found this and found it interesting, then the others should be easy to locate.